where that was written, that song, as he stood on the side of that ship where the ship had gone down months before and his children were killed. And it's standing there in the midst of that grief and sadness to be able to say, it is well. May that be our testimony today. This morning, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 8. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 8. The crown of righteousness. We're talking about the crowns that believers will receive in heaven if their lives have been faithful and obedient to the Lord. Paul, writing to the young preacher, said, I solemnly charge you before God in Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead because of his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and teaching. For the time will come when the people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, with multiple teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. But as for you, exercise self-control in everything. Endure hardship. Do the work of evangelists. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is close. For I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There is reserved for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me, not only to me, but to all those who have loved his appearing. Father, give us a love for the Lord Jesus' return. Give us an excitement to think the trumpet can sound, the skies can split, the archangel will shout, Jesus will appear. And we can go with him to spend eternity at your throne. Move in our midst now. Call from us commitment, obedience, and service, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, our world likes temporary awards. Now, I know I had Gene fashion me a wreath, and it's out of the plastic or artificial stuff. If this was a real wreath like they gave at the Olympic or the Isthmus Games during Paul's time of life, it would already be fallen apart. It would already be devoid. It would be empty. It would be meaningless. It would be useless and just cast aside with no meaning or purpose. You know, we examined the Great White Throne Judgment just a few weeks ago. This will be when those who have not known the Lord Jesus or served the Lord Jesus will be banished to eternal punishment. Death and hell will be given up, and they will be judged by the five books. Death and hell will give up the dead, and those dead will be judged by the five books that are recorded in the Word, the Book of Conscience, the Book of Words, the Book of Secret Works, the Book of Public Works, and the Book of Life. There is absolutely nothing that we can do to make God accept us as righteous and deserving and entering into his heaven for eternity. You know, if your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will be invited to God's eternal presence and will share all that the Lord Jesus will have in eternity. There are also the giving of the awards for the faithful service and worship of the King. The first crown that we discussed was the victor's crown. The victor's crown is received by those who demonstrate self-discipline and victory over temptation. They worked hard, they stayed obedient and faithful to the Lord. The second crown that we examined was the crown of rejoicing. The crown is also called the soul winner's crown. The crown given to those who have led others to faith in Christ and shared in the discipling process that others have gone through. These crowns are eternal and will never fade. The Apostle Paul was nearing the end of his life. He was in prison. He was waiting execution by Rome, in Rome. And the writers, as he writes to Timothy, who was serving as pastor in Ephesus, those words that we still hold on. Paul was not bitter, he was not afraid, and he was confident. Why? Because he knew that the faithfulness to Jesus never goes unnoticed. It will always be recognized. The reward in this world will fade away. Just like that old crown that they gave, the wreath that they gave, it fed away. We live in a world that celebrates temporary trophies, though. Awards, applause, achievements that will fade away, will turn to rot. Paul reminds us in his letter to Timothy of the crown that will never tarnish, and that is the crown of righteousness. Now, the crown of righteousness will never fade. We know everything in this world will not last. It will be destroyed. Jesus declared, store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust do not. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and the thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and thieves don't break in. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew 6:19-21. There is that fact. What's in this world will be destroyed. Only what we place in heaven awaiting us will be able to experience heaven with. Now, the crowns are not just for the apostles. Paul tells us of the heavenly reward, a crown of righteousness, promised not just to him, but to all those who will love his appearing. This is not just Paul's personal testimony. It's an invitation to all believers to live for eternity, not for this world. Our hearts and minds must be focused not on earthly things while we're running our race in this world. When we reach the end of life, we will be ushered into the Lord's presence, and there we will be given crowns for the way that we lived in this world. He said, there is reserved for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all those who love his appearing. Listen to that. If we're looking for the Lord, there will be a day that we will be rewarded. Now, the promise of the crown in verse 8a, there is reserved for me a crown of righteousness. Paul speaks with confidence, not with pride. He's not wishful thinking. He's not boastful. He is believing. Paul is trusting the promise of the Lord Jesus. After all the shipwrecks, the stonings, the beatings, the rejections, the trials, the slander, the being run out of town, Paul clings to the promise that God says, there is reserved for me a crown of righteousness. Now, realize that crown is not just for royalty, but for the victor, the one that wins. It's not a crown of gold, but it's a crown of righteousness. You know, there are very elaborate crowns that are worn by the Roman emperor at that time. His designated governors had very special crowns that they wore, and they were often given as a result of heritage. Somebody didn't earn it. It was just daddy's place and I took it type thing. It was my brother's place and I got it type thing. They were often given that way. They were inherited. They were passed on. They would be passed on to the heirs unless the kingdom had been defeated by another army. So there were those looking for dad's crown to come to me, dad's ownings to come to me. But the victor's wreath is not one that is given to athletes at the athletic games. No, they were faithful, well-trained, focused on the finish line, and they won a race, yes. But they were given a crown that was going to deteriorate. The crown of righteousness will not fade or tarnish when we complete our race in this world. The crown is for faithfulness. Not perfection, but faithfulness. The crown is not earned by merit, but it is given by grace. We are believers. We're not perfect, believe it or not. We are being sanctified. We're in that process of being sanctified. We are growing more like Jesus every day. You see, I've told y'all before, as a 10-year-old, I was justified to God. My life was written in the Lamb's Book of Life because I received Jesus as my Savior. My sins in the past, my sins in the present, and my sins in the future were all forgiven when I was justified. Now I'm being sanctified. That's the second part of the process. I am growing more like Jesus every day. You are too if you're living for Him. If you're living righteous lives, you're becoming more like Jesus every day. And that's what Paul's talking about. We're growing to be like Jesus. One day, thank God, we're going to be glorified. We're going to step into heaven with Jesus, and we will be just like Him, the Bible promises us. We will be known like Jesus because of what He did for us when He died on Calvary's cross. It's for faithfulness, not perfection. We work. We do the things that will make the fruit of the Spirit evident in our daily life every day. The fruit of the Spirit, remember, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, Paul told the church at Galatians 5:22. Faithfulness will be fully realized when we get to heaven. The crown of righteousness is not a symbol of status. You know, the king wore the crown, that was status. There are many things that we use to show status today. That look at me, see my standing, see my importance, see my position, see who I am. The crown of righteousness is the marks of victory and completion. That's the fact we finished the race. But not only did we finish the race, we won the race. We were faithful to the end. In the Greek games, Olympic Games and the Isthmus Games, the victors were awarded the crowns or wreath of honor. Paul adopted that image, the rewarding awaiting for those that run the race of faith and obedience to the end. Paul said, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness. It's not going to be that thing that's going to fade away and be destroyed. No, no. He said that crown is not up for auction. It's not up or anything else. It's not in danger of being destroyed. It's not in danger of becoming uncertain. It's not in danger of whittling away to nothing. He said, that crown for me is kept in heaven. Now we think about safes. We think about deposit boxes. We think about personal boxes at the bank where we can go in and open and get that stuff that we've hidden away for keeping as something else. We can think about all those things. It doesn't matter. But that which God has and going to give us when we get to heaven, friends, there is nobody that can touch it. There's nothing going to happen to it. It's reserved for me. The King of creation is holding all for the righteous. Peter said in 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of His great mercy, He has given to us new birth into a living hope that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Friend, I'm serving Jesus, and I'm not wondering if it's worth it. You remember? He's keeping the score. Even when no one else sees, Jesus sees, and the crown coming, don't give up. Don't quit. Your faithfulness matters. But the giver of the crown we need to talk about, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, Paul said. You know, the contrast with the earthly judges and the righteous judge is so strong. Paul knows who's going to hand him the crown. It will not be Caesar. It will not be a Roman governor. It will not be the high priest. It will be the Lord Jesus. You know, the high priest back in Jerusalem, it's not going to matter. Nobody on earth is qualified to give the crown that Paul's talking about. Not even the high priest. Paul called it the righteous judge, the earthly judge that sentenced Paul to death is not going to have a say in it. And it's not going to mean anything what that judge said. Jesus gave him eternal life at the throne of grace for all of eternity. So Paul will get that reward. No matter what happens to him, the judge is also righteous in character, he said. The heavenly judge will declare Paul righteous. One look into God's book of life revealed Paul's experience on the Damascus Road when he accepted Jesus Christ. Acts 9 records it. Had a warrant in his pocket. He had all the tools ready. He had a group with him headed from Jerusalem to Damascus, and them people of the way were going to pay the cost. Some of them were going to get killed in Damascus. Some of them were going to be jailed in Damascus. Some of them would be taken back to Jerusalem. And Jesus blinded him and said, "Why do you persecute me? Why do you kick against the goads? Who are you? I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecuted. What do you want from me, Lord? Go to Damascus, I'll tell you." And they led that big, strong, powerful man to Damascus, blind as a bat. He sat in a corner for 3 days until the person that God had appointed, Annas, came, prayed for him, and gave him his sight back. Then he spent 3 years in the desert learning about Jesus, and he started to follow him. "That's powerful," he said. "Jesus does not make mistakes. He sees through all the lies. He's through everything in this world. He knows the truth, and he will have the heart. His judgment is never flawed either." Paul was confident, not because of his goodness, but because of Jesus' righteousness given to him by faith. You see, Paul said, "I'm going to get it because of what Jesus did, not what I did. That's going to be it." Paul declared that it was not his works, but God's grace expressed through faith that gave him eternal life. God gave him the promise of eternal life shared with Jesus at the throne of grace for all of eternity. Think about your graduation day. You remember what it was like? Yeah, I can still remember. It was a long time ago. But I remember I was not the valedictorian. I was not the salutatorian. I could barely be one of the people that were there because of my poor study and understanding. But there came a time that my name was called out, and I walked across that stage in front of all those people in St. Paul's auditorium. And Dr. Butler gave me a diploma that said I completed the courses. I finally did what was necessary to graduate. Paul says, "I'm about to walk across heaven's stage, and Jesus himself is going to hand me a reward. And that reward will be mine for all of eternity. It will not fade. It cannot be stolen. It's not going to wear out. I do not know about you, but I'm ready for that day myself." But who are the recipients of the crown of righteousness? "Not only to me, but to all those who have loved his appearing." Those that are going to receive the life, even beyond Paul, to every believer. Praise God, the cross isn't just for Paul. The crown wasn't just for Paul. It was for all believers who anticipated Christ's return and who worked for it, watching all the time for the skies to split. Those who love Jesus and demonstrate it by the evidence of their fellowship with Jesus and his followers daily are going to be given the crown of righteousness. And they will spend time, if we are willing to spend time in his word, in the Bible, seeking to learn, to know, and to serve him better every day. Those who are investing time and energy to talk and listen to the Lord, the conversation will not just be about every day, but it could be multiple times a day. It will be long. It will be intense. It will be thought-provoking. It will be information-seeking. It will be conversations. Paul said, for those of us that want to know Jesus and understand who he is, those who seek to know Jesus as Lord and Savior and Lord of their lives, well, it will be better every day. Get better every day. Now, the crown of righteousness is for those that love his appearing. Paul's phrase is to love his appearing, to live with one eye on eternity, to be heavenly minded, to eagerly watching, to waiting for the return of Christ. In Philippians 3:20, Paul said, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait for the Savior forever, the Lord Jesus. You see, his name was in the book of life, which is the register of heaven. And he said, I'm waiting for that day. I am longing for that day. I want that day. Have you ever waited for something? I mean, it just didn't come quickly. You had to wait. You remember the anticipation. You remember the excitement. You remember the joy that as it built up and it grew more and more intense every day. It's like our children looking for Christmas or their birthday. They're looking for something and they can't hardly wait. They can't wait for what it's going to happen. You see, that's important. I love watching military personnel that's been overseas for a year come back and they surprise their family. You know, they are so creative in how they do it, what they do. And you know that they're saying, well, you know, they should be here any day, or it's going to be a couple more weeks before they get home. And through something that's going on and happening, all of a sudden, they focus and they see that person they're waiting for and explode with excitement and celebration. Friends, I believe when Jesus splits the sky, we're going to explode with anticipation of what it's going to be like. Waiting for him, getting to him, hugging him, worshiping him, adoring him. Paul said he was looking forward, anticipating. He was filled with excitement, and it was building every day for the Lord's return. Oh, just think what it's going to be like. I can just imagine Paul singing that old Southern gospel song. Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear now is at stake. Humble your hearts to God, saved from the chastening rod. Think the way pilgrims trod, Christians awake. Troubles will soon be o'er, happy forevermore. When we meet on that shore, free from all care. Rising up in the sky, telling this world goodbye. Homeward we then will fly, glory to share. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound. All the dead will rise. The righteous will meet in the skies, going to where no one dies, heavenward bound. That's what the crown of righteousness is about. Anticipating, working toward, preparing for Jesus' return. Those who are not perfect, but they're faithful. They're faithful. Paul told Titus, the young preacher, in 2:11-13, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people, instructing us to deny godliness and worldly lust and to live in sensible righteousness, a godly way in the present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, amen. It's coming, folks. Understand, this is not about being perfect. It's about being faithful, obeying, serving. It's about loving Jesus more than we love this world. It's about anticipating, watching, longing, desiring his return to gather us for all eternity with him. You see, we're making sure we're doing everything he has commanded us, and we're being prepared to go with him. Understand, we're not just watching and longing for his return, only another good option. That's the great white throne judgment. And you know, anybody that stands before the great white throne are going to be banished into eternity in the lake of fire. There's no hope. There's no out. No believer's going to be there. Only lost people will be there. If your love is appearing, you will love and live your life in sacrifice and obedience with the hope that you will be faithful watching one day when he returns. What does that mean? It means that we will be living for the crown of righteousness. Brothers and sisters, the crown of righteousness is not a fairy tale. It's a real promise for the risen Lord. It's a waiting for the mother or the father who raised their children in the Lord. It's awaiting the church member that is served faithfully without recognition. It's waiting for the believer who remains faithful even under the pressures of this world and this time. It's waiting for the one that longs for Christ's returns and they live every day according to the way Jesus taught. Paul finished well because he was persistent. He stayed after it. He finished well not because he was perfect, but because he was constant, persistent, seeking the Lord. He kept at it. He ran the race with the determination and faithfulness. He kept the faith all the way to the time that it slammed on his head and off he went. Paul died because he was persistent in faith to Jesus. We need to live that way. There are many today that are experiencing the deconstruction of their faith. They're no longer faithful to God. They've given up. It's not worth it anymore. I just quit. We've seen three generations that are doing it. They just give up, quit, not attending, not participating. Yesterday, I had a conversation with a young teenage girl. And I asked her about church, where she went, what they did. And she said, well, you know, with my job and my school like it is, I don't have time for God today. And I said, you need to be careful, because if you don't have time for God, he's not going to have time for you. You need to be faithful. We can get too busy if we want to, but the crown of righteousness is at stake. Paul said in verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Paul's reward was the crown of righteousness, because the crown of righteousness that was set aside for him, he could say, I fought a good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. I did the training, I did life, I did what I was supposed to do in obedience to the Lord Jesus. I get the crown of righteousness. What about you? How are you doing? Ask yourself, am I living for this world, or am I living for Christ? Do you make choices that reflect your love for Jesus and his appearing? Or do you make choices based on what you want? If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, there is no crown awaiting you. It's only the great white throne, judgment, separation, punishment. But if you'll turn from your sins and if you will trust in Jesus, not only will you be saved, but you will be rewarded. The Bible tells us. You see, you start that race that God expects us to run by accepting Christ, offer of forgiveness of sin, and adoption into his family. We use the word admit. We confess our sins to him. And when we do that, he is faithful and just to give us cleansing of all unrighteousness. If we admit that, then we can believe that Jesus was the Son of God. He died on Calvary and rose again and offers me eternal life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Folks, there's no other way. I don't care what the world is teaching you. I don't care what other religions are saying. The only way you will get to heaven is if you believe Jesus Christ and confess him as Lord. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's it. That's all there is. Now, confession is not just when you join the church and are baptized. It's a daily expression of your life being lived with Jesus as Lord of your life. You see, our life has to be long and steady and faithful, is what Paul is telling us. If you live for the appearing of Christ and not for the applause of men, you will get the crown of righteousness. We have to recommit today to live and long for his return. We look forward to the crown that is awaiting of us. To do this requires that you put a D with the ABCs. That is, you dedicate yourself to discipleship. You learn more about Jesus. You got to know more every day. Be diligently presenting yourself before God as the one approved, a worker that does not need to be ashamed. Correctly teaching the Word of God. That's dedicated discipleship. We learn what Jesus taught and we share it with others. That's what Awana stands for. Approved workmen are not ashamed. That's derived from this verse of Scripture. We're teaching children what Jesus has said. This verse emphasizes the importance of diligently studying and obeying God's Word. Become a workman who is not ashamed. We will give an account. Jack Freeman told me something standing at the foot of Mary Jane's bed yesterday. Asked him how he was doing. He thought a minute and then he said, and I can say this because he told others of you. But he said, week before last, his doctor said, are you ready to die? Jack said, got my will done. I got my funeral planned. And I'm looking forward to heaven. The doctor said, good, because there's nothing else we can do. I'll give you some fluid pills to kind of help your heart some. But we've done all we can do. What happens when they say to you, we've done all we can do? Can you say, I got my will done. I got my funeral planned. And I'm looking forward to heaven. Can you say that? If not, you need to make a decision for Jesus Christ today and become his disciple and live obediently. Father, speak to our hearts now. Give us a glimpse of what heaven's going to be like, especially the crown of righteousness, because we've been faithful and we've focused on winning the race that you've set before us. Speak to our hearts now, for we need to make commitments to you that will help us live the remainder of our life in obedience to what Jesus called us to do. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.